What's going on, OTL fam? Bam, we're back. This time, we have a special guest in the house. A good friend, a savage, a like all of you, straight out of Shoreline, Sherwood High School. From Sherwood High School, where was next?
Fresno City.
From Fresno City, dude.
It's Idaho State.
Idaho State, and from Idaho State to the pros.
Yes, sir.
My God. Today, I'd like you to welcome Tomas Sanchez to the show, my friends.
What up? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, yay. What's going on, bro?
Not much, man. I appreciate you having me on and get together and have a little chop it up.
So. In town.
Yeah, man.
You done went big time on us. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, man. Good to be back.
So what's been new?
Not much, man. Like you said, just back for the first time in years, back home for Christmas. So that's nice to see all the friends and family. So, you know, I'm just enjoying that.
2020 making it possible.
2020, yeah, exactly, right? 2020, a bunch of everything's going to be different. But, yeah, no, I'm just trying to survive 2020, basically, and see what happens in 2021.
Absolutely. Well, we go way back.
Yes, sir.
Probably not as back as most of the people that we know together, but
yeah.
Tomas, for those who don't know, may have the wettest jumper that ever came out of Seattle. And he'll be probably too humble about it, but he do got the wet jumper. And he may have been on the worst high school basketball team with the players that were in place because they might have had the worst possible coach at the time.
Yeah.
But you made it out. So we'll kind of go back to the beginning because we like the process around this joint.
Okay.
So starting out, growing up, was basketball always the dream, or was that just something that kind of came through it, or did you think you were going some other direction, or how did that kind of come to fruition?
It's always been sports. Probably my first love was football. I thought I was going to be in the NFL, but then I got taller and not
and went
stronger.
To Sherwood High School.
Yeah, exactly. But I just always been into sports, basketball, baseball, football, everything since as far as I can remember. And then my two favorites was football and basketball.
What and position in football?
Football, I was a receiver, but I also could play quarterback. But and on defense, I was like a cornerback. But basketball was always a dream of mine to like play professionally somewhere or something, go Division I always. And that probably started when I was, you know, elementary school.
Mm. That's interesting you say that. So a lot of times, like, especially doing a lot of kid training when they grow up, you hear this phrase, D1 or nothing.
Yes, sir.
So was that your mindset?
That was definitely my mindset back then. And as I'm older, I don't think that way anymore. But for sure, growing up, it's like Division I, you know, it had like the aura around it or
yes,
something, you know, like
for sure.
If you heard someone, oh, they went Division I, you like kind of look at it. Well, at least me, I would look at them like, oh, okay, you know, and I always compare myself to people like that. And so, you know, once I was in middle school, high school, I knew like, all right, that's where I'm trying to go, Division I. Cause I knew like after Division I, people go pro. So, you know, that was the next step.
Yes. You know? Yeah. And I think I've had a lot of conversations lately about like now looking at college sports. Like, I'm not as impressed, like, watching it anymore now that I'm, like, older and probably trained a lot of people, like, at that level. You're like, okay, it's not, like, that much of, like, you may have, like, 5 to 10 freak shows, but, like, a lot of them are just, like, great athletes that found their way in, you know?
Yeah.
And so, plus being around, like, community college sports, unfortunately, a lot of people who find their way there just because of academics, but,
yep,
like, the amount of freak show talents that are,
oh, yeah,
hiding in these CCs,
yep,
is always it's always interesting. But
yep,
so
I'm a JUCO kid, so I know all about that. Yeah,
yeah. But you kind of found your way to a better JUCO than just like the one down the street.
Oh yeah,
right,
no, for sure.
So kind of going back. So you grew up like playing a bunch of sports. So
yeah,
which is kind of looked down upon.
Yeah,
these days it's like you got to go one sport, you got to go all in, you got to have a personal trainer, you got to have a nutritionist, like everybody's going to the league.
Yep.
So what do you think you got as a kind of a benefit from playing multiple sports?
Well, I think you just learn a bunch of different movements first off, you know, And I think having like some sort of range is good. You don't want to be too specific, especially early on. You know, like you're going to burn a kid out if you just like try to specify what he's supposed to do, you know. Let some kids have fun. Let them, you know, even if it's a sport they're probably not even going to play next year, you know, at least they might meet some new friends or something. But I definitely think there's some advantages and maybe some disadvantages. But I think overall, I think it's better to just, you know, have a bunch of things to choose from as far as, you know, because then it's more your choice and not like your parents are like forcing you to do this, you know.
Right. So living vicariously.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that plays a big role in just, like you said, like – just body awareness.
Yes.
You know, especially to, the first time that kind of like came to my mind where like that lacked, just, I think when we grew up, cause I think we're the same age, right?
Yeah.
Like we were always doing something like at recess. It was always a sport. You were playing football, basketball, like jump rope. Like it was always just competitive. And a couple of years ago, I stepped in to help this guy with this high school group training and it was all high school boys, just like real athletic dudes. And so I'm like, I'm coming in to like, you know, go ham on him because I'm like the special guest trainer. So I'm like, I got to bring, you know,
bring the heat,
the goods.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, we'll start off with a jump rope workout. These guys picked up a jump rope and they could not jump rope. Like they couldn't keep a beat. They couldn't like do more than two without messing up. I'm like, all right, guess put those down. I'm like, I put on the song and I was like, all right, just like jump, like I put the jump rope down, just like jump on the beat. These dudes couldn't even like jump on the beat. Yeah. I was like, man, y'all, we got to get you ready for prom because the girls do not want a guy who just. But anyways, I think, yeah, that's totally on point. Just to be well-rounded, to be able to change and be maneuver. And also not just getting so pigeonholed in just like one position. You know, I think growing up, the ability to like play on the playground and you're guarding everybody and you're banging bodies, it doesn't hurt that you have a brother that's an absolute monster, of a man and an athlete. So it's I think that sometimes gets lost, and I don't think we know like the repercussions of trying to narrow kids down until like 10 years down the line. We're like, man, we low-key screwed that up, you know?
And it's definitely a fine line because I'm a parent too, and I know when my son's of the age that he can play basketball, I'm gonna hope and pray that he chooses it, but, you know, and maybe force it on him, you know, it's hard, you know, because
Daddy knows
like,
best.
You know, if he doesn't want to choose basketball, then it's as a parent, it would hurt. But, you know, it's a fine line between letting him choose it and trying not to force it on him. But, like, you know, I'm definitely going to – present it.
You're like, if it ain't basketball, you better be a savage or whatever you do it. Otherwise, you're coming back to basketball. So you got the wet jumper. Where did the jumper come from?
Just reps, man. I just.
So you were born with it?
I don't know.
You came out the womb with this, the J?
I don't think so. I think I earned it because it was like every day you get some shots up at form shooting something, you know, especially growing up when, you know, you're on the journey trying to make it, trying to go Division I, trying to go to the pros, there's no time to not get up jumpers, you know, so it's not hard to go get up jumpers, you know, and so.
So I think all jumpers are not created equally.
I agree.
Because I've done put up plenty jumpers, and we both know that my jumper is not wet. So did you learn from somebody specifically, or did you just kind of figure it out on your own?
I mean, I never, like, had someone – I mean, like, growing up, somebody teach you, like, how to shoot with form and stuff. But I look back at my jumper from when I was, like, AAU, and I used to, just, like, fling it up there because I wasn't strong enough, you know?
Sending it. Who'd you play for?
I played all for a whole bunch of different programs. I played for Seattle Pirates. I played for for Carlos. What was that team called? I forgot.
Was that when we were at Ball and Boys Club?
Ball and Boys Club.
The BBC?
Yep. And then I played for Seattle Hype.
I remember that.
Yeah, so – I don't know. I think
we kind of grew up in the AAU age.
Yeah,
like
we definitely
birthing of AAU.
No, AAU was fun, man. I got nothing but good memories for AAU.
Do you think you'd be where you are right now without AAU?
You know, that's a good question. I think yes and no, because I mean the thing about AAU is you're playing a lot of games, you know, so there's less like skill development, you know.
Yes.
But you're in front of a lot of coaches and in front of a lot of people, and, you know, you do play a lot of games, so there's benefits in that too. So, but for me, like, I didn't really get noticed in the AU, so that's why I could kind of say no, because how I got noticed to go to my JUCO was just through a men's league out here. And
really?
So, yeah. So that's how that happened.
Yeah, it's, you just never know who's watching.
Never know.
Yeah, the I know I've shared on this podcast a couple of times. I can really, like, give – like, I've had so many bad coaches throughout the years that, like, I really did have to teach myself a massive amount of, like, what I know about sports and training. And, like, I wasn't always the most just, like, gifted athletically. And I mean, as we progressed – I mean, I think I ran the course of what my physical abilities would allow me to do, but I think there's a moment when you realize, like, I know more about this than I'm able to do physically, and so I kind of went the training route, and but I know that the as, like, I look back, I realized that if nobody was gonna, like, teach me something, I'd have just have to teach myself, and know the game. And I mean, we both kind of grew up playing, like, 2K and playing outside and watching the NBA. You just, like, pick up a move and go outside, and you're like...
I think I learned a lot from watching the NBA because, like, that's all I grew up watching was sports. And so I would just watch how they move, watch how they shoot, watch what they do. And a lot of stuff I learned just from being a basketball fiend, watching it, you know.
Is there anybody that you wanted to mold your game after?
You know, it's weird because... like, growing up, I was a huge Spurs fan, right? So my favorite player was, like, Tim Duncan and, like, Manu Ginobili, who people who, like, don't play my position are, like not similar games whatsoever. But so I never really, like, my favorite players weren't people that I tried to mold my game after. That kind of came, like, I really never really molded my game till, like, after a player till I was older and I realized, okay, like, my limitations and my strengths. Like, I know I'm a shooter. I can shoot. I'm not the fastest, not the most athletic. So I started following a lot of point guards like that who are smart and could shoot and just, like, can still affect the game, like Kyle Lowry. There's a few other examples I can't think off the head, but, you know, just smart point guards, Steve Nash, you know, people that could shoot and people who are crafty. Yeah, crafty, and, you know, it could still be effective without being the fastest or the most, like, athletic as far as, like, jumping-wise, you know?
So then as you went into high school at Shorewood.
Yeah.
So you guys had plenty of talent.
Yeah. When everybody's grades are right, yeah.
that's all so key. And so I kind of want to dive into, like, the impact that coaching can have negatively.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the Shorewood shit was a mess. Like, we had coaches that they're like you said, we had talent. Like, we had kind of athletes, especially for Westco, to, like, go up and down. But he you know, he had me playing a power forward, you know, and I play in AAU, I'm a point guard, you know, so it's like, I'm, you know, so
yeah, because I think, like, that unfortunately is, like, when, like, adults let their pride get in the way. You know, and
sure.
And unfortunately, it's like kids pay the price, and, like, you only get one shot.
Yeah, and it's sick because, you know, we'd play in the little summer tournaments where we have, like, and not our real coach and be killing, you know, and then we go to AU, and then we go to the high school season, and then, of course, one or two people's out for grades, and then, you know, everybody's playing out of position, and it was just...
Right, so it's like, would you rather lose and have your way than let people go free
exactly
and win?
Yep.
Like, I don't, I honestly, watching the games, like, it was just, like, painful, and, like, obviously I was close with a couple of you guys back then.
Yep.
Afterwards, like, just the pure frustration, it's like, there's nothing I can do, you know?
Yeah.
Something, like, mentally I know we'd smack these guys, but physically, like, our own team is putting shackles on. Like,
yeah,
we're down 20, we're holding the ball at half court, waiting for, like, the last 5-second shot, like... But
yeah,
anyways, that it's like, it's just, like, so aggravating. And I know that, like, a lot of people could go through that experience and, like, never want to play basketball again. Like, coaches can really ruin that experience.
Yeah.
And then, so then you guys went on, unfortunately, like, underperformed from what was possible.
For sure.
And kind of went a bunch of different ways. A couple guys ended up at JUCOs. You ended up down at Cali. And then after you went to Cali, I didn't see you for probably a couple years.
Yeah.
And when you came back, you were a different Tomas.
For sure.
And because I think when you're just have pure talent, like, you can get away with a lot, you know? And it honestly reminded me a lot of the first time that Shaq came home after playing at ASU for the first year, where, like, you have this, like, eye-wide, like, oh, snap, like, when it's an even playing field, like, it's a different game. Like, I'm not getting the same shots. Like, I'm not blowing by the first step. And it's, like, that point in anyone's career is, like, my absolute favorite. Because even the most talented are, like, you're a desperate sponge. You're, like, I'll take whatever, whenever. Tell me what to do. I'll do it. Like, and that was probably, like, one of my favorite times training was that first year you came back when we were, in the, like, getting in the gym a couple of days a week. And my passing game was on point because I was sending about 700 passes every hour. But there's just and I remember talking to Micah about it at that time. It's like, Tomas has changed, because I wouldn't say you were always, like, the hardest working, because you knew you didn't have to be. But when you came back and you realized, like, if I don't take this to another level, like, I'm not going to survive.
Yeah.
At least that's what it came across as.
Yeah, I mean, so I would say my senior year, I got a trainer, Antoine Jones. He started training me, and he kind of put into, like, my mind, like, how hard you have to really work, you know? And I always knew, like, even, like, the whole Sherwood stuff, like, I always knew that was not, like, I was going to put this past me. Like, I knew I wasn't a loser, and I knew, like, I knew I was playing out of position. Like, I knew, like, because I was playing AU and killing as a point guard.
For sure.
So I'm like, you know, whatever. And I still got good enough stats to get some, like, recognition or whatever. But I knew, like, if I was trying to go Division I, like, I have to, you know, you have to want it more than everybody else, basically. And it's, especially in JUCO, it's a doggy dog world. So, you know, and I'm blessed because I went to a great junior college. Like, I'm very thankful that I did. You know, I went to one of the best junior colleges in the world, and it's just a whole, like you said, like, I came back a different person. I go down there and it's a whole different game. Like, I'm playing against, like, you know, like, I'm at Sherwood, I'm one of the taller players. I'm one of the stronger players, you know, just out for showing up. I go down there, I'm one of the skinnier players. Body. Like, you know, like, whoa, I'm like, okay. Like, I know my body needs to change, and I knew, like, what I need to do. And it was eye-opening as far as seeing, like, okay, like, you know, I kind of need know what I need to do. And then when I was out there, I was just, like, I had one goal, and that was to go to the next level. And that was kind of it, you know?
Yeah, that – I think that, like, humbling experience, it's like a humbling and empowering experience.
For sure.
Because you know you belong there, you know, and then it becomes, like, a rat race to see, like, who can grow the fastest, you know, who can change the game the fastest, who can maneuver, who can evolve. And to this day, I remember I went down to Idaho to watch the JUCO National Championships. Hands down, the best basketball I've ever watched in my entire life. Because you got 50 D1 schools with their coaches and, like, scouts in the stands. Everybody's trying to get a scholarship.
Yep.
And, like, from the warm-up, like, the place is packed out. You got chills. You just, like, know something about to go down. Guys and girls. I mean, and just an absolute war. Like, the best defense I've ever seen. Because everybody's just in lockdown mode. And I was like, I got it, like, addicted to that. I was like, I want to be around that. Create, like, how do we create that? I call it the urgency without the emergency. Like, without having to have your life on the line and be like, have this one performance be the one that gets you the next step. How can you create that urgency without having to be in that place? And I just remember you came back with that that sense of urgency and freaking just put in the work, you know? It's like you went down, one person came back like the hardest working person, like the most dedicated, the hardest, like just wanting to be after it.
Yeah.
Like texting me, hey, can we get in the gym today? Hey, can we get in the gym today? not at 7, but hey, can we get it like a 9 though? Like, are you trying to go 2 times today? And I just like, I love that. Like, I'll give every last part of my being for that. And it was just cool to watch your game change, like right in front of your face, you know? And I still, to this day, when I talk to people in training, like when you were kind of like the original with the big band, like doing everything with the band work.
Yeah.
And just like watching like your game change, just the way like you would drive, the way you would have your like chest up, the way you were taking contact, and like going from our training into like a men's league, it was just like a different, you just had a different level, you know? So going back, so from Fresno, what was the transition that took you to Idaho?
Well, my JUCO team in Fresno, we were really good. Like, my 2 years combined there, I went 64-6. So it was a lot of winning. It was complete opposite of Schroeder. It was a lot of winning and barely any losing. Like, we made it to the Final Four my freshman year and won it all my sophomore year. So just off that we always had college coaches at our gym and stuff. So my freshman year, like I said, we make it to the Final Four. I have a pretty good Final Four and like a little playoff run, and I get named to I get invited to the top 100 JUCO players camp in Vegas, and so did two of my teammates. So it was cool. All three of us went together, and then we played in the camp out there. And I would say that camp was like the first time I was like, okay, I'm gonna go D1. Like, I'm having college coaches, you know, talk to me after the game. And there's just a shitload of Division I coaches there, you know? And, I would say that point, so that was like the summer after my freshman year going into my sophomore year. And we were coming in like ranked like one of the best JUCOs. So it was like that, at that point I kind of knew, okay, it's a big possibility for me to go Division I as long as I just take care of business. And so then we have an even better sophomore year than, we did the year before. And then after that year, just, you know, I had a few schools that were calling me every day. And then, I ended up picking Idaho State because the coach was he's coming into his first year. And so I was his point guard. Like, I was his guy. You know, I was his recruit. It was like his guy. He's basically telling me, like, you're going to come in.
He's like hedging his bets on you.
Yeah, basically. He basically is telling me, like, you're going to come in. The starting spot is yours to lose. And, you know, like,
you're like, say no more.
I'll say more. I mean, I ended up playing like my senior year. I played the fifth most minutes in the NCAA, so he kept his word. Like, I was always on the court, basically. But yeah, no, it was that's how I got there.
So what was going from JUCO, was D1 what you expected?
Man, yeah, and no. I mean, it's I don't know what I really expected, you know. I mean, it's a high level of play for sure. It was crazy because I was so lucky for my JUCO experience. Like how you said, the competitive, like, man, my JUCO was really, like, I really feel like my JUCO team would beat my Division I team. Like, we were nice and we were fucking, like, everybody was so hungry. Like, it was just a different environment. Like, everybody was hungry to get there. And when I'm at Division I, like, everybody's like,
oh, we made it.
Yeah, they made it. And, like, there's only, like, two of us that were like, yeah, like, oh, wait, y'all getting degrees for, like we're here to hoop, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's just different, but, I mean, it was cool, man. I'm definitely thankful for like, the experience and shit, but, it was kind of what I expected, but just so much different from where I was at the 2 years before that, so, yeah.
So, after college, then we went pro.
Yeah.
So your dream was realized. Maybe not the way you expected.
Definitely not.
So how did that come about? And explain, like, the first time, like, you got the call that was like, hey, we want you to come play.
Okay, yeah. So it's actually funny because So I'm half Mexican, half white. My last name is Sanchez, and I'm having a good senior year, and I'm getting all these Facebook messages. I'm getting all these, like, inboxes, emails from these pro teams in Mexico. And I really don't know too much about the pro league in Mexico, right? I'm like, man, I'm trying to go to Europe, whatever, like, whatever. I don't even really respond to them. You know, I don't even know what they are. Like, I don't even – I don't know anything, you know? Then the year ends or whatever, I get an agent, and I got an agent, a European agent, who was he's one of my assistant coaches. Is like, he used to play pro. It was his old agent. So I'm like, all right, I'll use him. And then – so he's, like, finding, like, trying to find me jobs. And then I tell him about these messages. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, a few months ago I got all these messages, like, from a few teams in Mexico. And he sends them over. And then it turns out, like, I can get my Mexican passport, which ended up being just so huge because now my offers, like, my rookie year offers was, like, you know, like $2,000, you know. And now I could get my Mexican citizenship and play as a Mexican. Now it's, like, double that as a rookie. So I'm like, all right, I guess we're going to Mexico. And so then, yeah, that's how I ended up getting to Mexico. Once I got, like, they figured out how to get my passport. And so now I got dual citizenship, and I can play as a local, which was lovely, like, very great for job security and payment. So
you speak Spanish?
I'm pretty much could understand it all. I'm actually taking – I have a tutor right now. I'm trying to be fluent, like, talking it, but I can understand basically everything.
Huh. I was saying that'd be an interesting – gap when you go down there. So are mostly, what percentage of your teammates were from Mexico?
See, that's what's funny. So a lot of my teammates are like me, like people who are Mexican but just grew up in the States, you know. So I would say, you know, 7-8 players are from the States on your team. So it's a real college like vibe out there, and it's a reason why a lot of people like to play out there, because, you know, all of us are either in the same like apartment complex or the same like hotel,
right?
And, you know, we're all Americans, you know, mostly everybody speaks English. So the people who can't speak Spanish are not like as, you know, by themselves, you know, yeah, somebody who's like in Europe, you know, whether you got like 3 imports only and y'all live 20 minutes away and stuff. Right. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, it was, there's a lot of like Mexican Americans out there.
So do you remember the first time you kind of sat back and you're like, damn, I'm really playing pro basketball?
Well, shit, I remember, so I land, I go to Torreon, Mexico as my first job, right, a place I never heard of, and I get down there, and when they pick us up from the airport, they take us to the hotel, and he just gives me an envelope with $1,000 in it, right?
You're like, I like the way this is starting up.
So I'm like, that was so much money to me at the time, right? And this is like, I'm like, whoa, like, okay, like, so what I'm talking about.
We like
I'm
this.
I'm thinking, like, this is like a loan up front. Like, I don't know. Now they're like, they ended up telling us later that was coming out of our paycheck. But still, you know, like, I'm just like, whoa. I'm just like on my bed counting it, just like, damn. Like,
over and over again.
Yeah, like I just got $1,000 to just, I haven't even touched basketball yet, you know? So that was my first time. I'm like, whoa, like, I'm getting paid to play basketball. And then, I mean, I've had a few moments where I'm like playing against people, you know, that I used to watch or something, you know, and it's kind of surreal, but yeah, it's cool.
Man, that's crazy. Then you have a little baby boy.
Yep.
Too. So how did having a lovely child, like, how did that change your perspective kind of on your career, on life, on, like, your – the way you would travel, or
I mean, it honestly changes a lot. Like my life used to be like so much revolving around basketball, you know, and like my performances, if I have a bad game or we lost or something, like I'm just like I'm in a bad mood or something, you know. And even the other way, like if I have a good game, like I'm probably like overly, you know, feeling good, you know. And then like having a kid, you kind of realize that it really is just a game. Like, you know, I can go out there and shoot 0-for-10 from 3, but I come home and, like, my son's going to look at me the same exact way as if I went 10-for-10. You know, he has no idea. So it's kind of like that balance that it's just, like, everything's the same.
Perspective is a hell of a drug.
Yeah, no, it really is. It puts a lot of perspective on stuff. And then it's harder because I haven't had him come with me when I go out there. So it's hard being away. But, yeah, it's been the best thing, though. I love it, man. I love being a father, so it's good.
I bet. So looking, now that we kind of went through the sports career, kind of like looking back of your life, what do you think are, it's my favorite part asking questions because you guys have no idea what's about to come out of my mouth. You're like, oh God. I believe that everybody has like core moments that really changed your life or your perspective on life. So obviously having a kid is a major core moment when you're like, damn, like yesterday this mattered and now it doesn't.
Yeah.
So at any point in your life, what would be one or two of your like core moments that really shifted the way that you viewed the world or the changed the trajectory of your life or that just really had an impact on who you are?
You know, it's kind of hard to just think of one right off the top, but kind of like going back to what we were talking about was when I went out to Fresno and I got a coach named Coach Matic who I still talk to all the time to this day. And he kind of became definitely more than a coach, you know, more like a father figure. My pops was in jail, you know, so I didn't really have a father figure at that time. And he kind of like stepped in and man, he showed me so much love and kind of definitely taught me how to work hard. Definitely taught me like get a routine and I'm still to this day, like I kind of have to have a routine. And meeting him and just like his influence on me, it just changed like who I am, like all the way, like completely, honestly. And like, yeah, to this day, I still talk to him. I still tell him that I'm thankful for him all the time. So yeah, Coach Matic, if anybody knows him, he's like the most craziest dude you've ever met. But like once he's on your side, he's like the most loyal person you've ever met too. So yeah.
It's crazy about coaches because like how many people like just like you are saying that, you know, and he may never know, he may never even get to hear that. So it's good. Like you said, we still talk, like he still knows how I feel about him. But there's so many people that don't do that, you know, until fortunately like that person passes away or, you know, so they happen to meet some time down in life. And so I always just encourage people just to reach out, you know, send a text. If you think about it, just send a text. And that was one of the things, like in the last 2 years that I really challenged myself is like when somebody comes to my mind, it's just like shoot them a message.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, I wonder what they're doing. It's like, well, it takes 5 seconds, you know, to reach out. And a lot of times it's crazy how many times when you do that, they're like, man, I'm almost having the worst day. And like, you really just like turned it around, you know? And the timing on that is always somewhat impeccable. So I was talking about roots. So root people, I was kind of explain as like, when things are going on in your life, you kind of like, people ask you, how you doing? I'm like, man, I'm doing good. You know, everything's the same. But really you have like the people who you are really honest with and like really hold you down and you're like, go to when you're like, you need to pick me up. You need to keep it 100 with. And so who would you say are like some of the root people that are in your life?
For sure, my brother. For sure. Like, you know, my brother, he's 2 years younger than me, but we grew up together. We do everything. He lives in Vegas with me too now. So yeah, we're pretty much like
one of the funniest people on this planet.
Yeah, he's crazy. He's definitely crazy. He gets on my nerves all the time. But yeah, no, that's my little bro, and we're like best friends. So definitely him. Definitely my mom too. If I need to like talk to somebody, like, you know, that's not my brother, and then probably my girl. But yeah, for sure, my brother is like the number one.
Mm. So who? When we talk about a laws that you live by, so like your pillars, so what do you think are some like baseline laws that you live by? So like for me, like I'm determined to be the hardest working person in the room, you know. So what do you think some things for you are? Maybe there's in general, maybe you haven't even thought about them, but what do you think that some of those things are for you, whether it's in sports or in life?
Yeah, well, I mean, growing up, my pillar was always to, like, man, just get to the next level, you know? But now I think it's more like I love being a provider for my family, you know, and making sure they're good. And like, it's Christmas time, you know, making sure everybody, you know, gets what they want, you know? And, you know, I'm just making my inner circle happy, you know? And I still have, like, the same group of friends that I grew up with. And, you know, and every summer we have, like, a little get-together and everybody kicks it and just, you know, chops it up. And so I like, you know, I like just making sure that all my people are good. You know?
For sure. Do you have a daily routine?
For sure. For sure. Right now it's different because I'm traveling, but I mean, and depending on what time it is, like if I'm in season or off season, but for sure, I always like wake up and have like a smoothie and then I go work out. And then after that, it's kind of like my day will start, you know, but like first things first, work out in, you know, and then usually after that, it's whatever I got planned. But my daily routine as far as like my mornings, that's what it is.
So there's a phrase I like to use called living legacy. So usually legacy, like we talked about with like, say like Coach Matic or any coach, like you don't really get to share those things with that person until they're gone. So living legacy is like what we want, the impact that we want to have. And so I don't think you can ever have the full impact of what you could unless you're actually intentional about it. You know, so it's like you just said, being like a provider for your family, like if that's the intention, like that becomes a super important thing to you. So what do you say, like at the end of your life, you know, working retroactively, what do you hope that people will say about Tomas Sanchez?
Man, you know, I'm not really sure. I just, you know, I hope that they just, I hope that my son could just have a good life and carry on, because we have the same name, so he'll carry on any legacy, you know, and I feel like he can, you know, he can be my little legacy or whatever, you know, like hopefully he becomes a great human being in general, and then, you know, sports or non-sports, whatever he do, that he's just a good person and he's living life the right way, and I feel like if that's the case, then, you know, I did a good enough job.
I feel it. All right, we got some rapid-fire questions.
Alrighty.
And then we're going to ask you to freestyle.
Like I'm on Sway.
Five fingers of death. Pew, 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 pew. All right, so start on the top. The phrase, is it just me or what?
Is it just me?
Like, is it just me or is traffic in Seattle crazy? Like,
shit. Is it just me or is Everett way too far north?
I tell myself that every day. Traveling. God dang, why there's so many people up here. The second one is, if you really knew me, you would know that what?
Ooh, if you really knew me. If you really knew me, man, I'll say if you really knew me, then then you if you really know me, you kind of know where I'm at, because I don't really be at too many places. So if you really know me, you're going to know where I'm at depending on what time of day it is.
I love it. Failure is what?
Failure is just an obstacle, a lesson. Like, it's part of life, you know? Everybody's going to fail. No one's going to be perfect. So, honestly, the more failures you got, it means you keep trying. Like, if you fail at one thing and you stop, then, you know, then it's really a failure, I would say. But, so, you know, everybody fails every day, you know? So, I mean, it's just an obstacle you got to get over.
Yes. Success is what?
Success is a habit. I think I've heard that, but I really believe that, you know.
We'll just say that was an original quote.
Yeah, we could say I created that.
God dang, you're so smart.
I know, I'm really, you know, I got it like that, but no, I really believe that, like, if you, like, you want to be a successful basketball player, well, your habits better, better eat the right way, you better sleep, you better get your recovery, you better train, you know what I'm saying? It's a habit, all them habits.
Why can't people just be...
Why can't people just, like, worry about themselves and stop worrying about everybody else? You know,
I can say that again for the people in the back.
I feel like the world would be a better place if you just don't agree with somebody or don't like what they're doing, is if you just mind your own business and just, you know, you don't have to deal with them, you know, you just live your life.
Who has the best mindset that you know?
Wow. mindset? Oh, man. I feel like I got a lot of people who have good mindsets and for different reasons, but you know, I have a friend. Man, I have a few friends. I don't even know. I don't want to like say one person and not say the first.
You got to go for it. The rest of them got to step their game up.
I don't know. I'll just say the best mindset I've been around is probably Coach Matic. Like overall, because I mean, he just looks at the world a different way, man. And you know, like you said, anything, like, he really believes that you can do anything as long as you, like, you know, you put your mind to it and you are dedicated about it and not full of shit, you know, like.
I mean, he sounds like somebody, like, that you, like, he's just so set in who he is that when you come around him, you're different.
Yeah, you change. You change, for sure. Anybody who's been around him for, like, a extended period of time will probably say the same thing.
Mm. What determines your quality of life?
Happiness. Like, if you're not happy, then what's the point? You know, you can have $1 million, but you're not happy. You might as well have five and be happy, you know, like, and that's all a mindset too, I feel like. But, you know, different things make other people happy. I mean, makes different people happy. So, you know, what might make me happy might not make you happy, but as long as it makes you happy, then hey, you're happy. So you're good.
Right. what are you better at than anybody you know?
I'm gonna say poker.
I believe that.
Yeah, I'm gonna say poker, especially because most of the people I know are not good poker players. But yeah,
I like it. If you could only listen to one music artist for the rest of your life, who is it?
Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny's my guy. Puerto Rican, reggaeton.
And what is something that everybody can do every day to be better?
Man, there's a lot of things you do. I would say, I mean, first of all, people need to eat right. A lot of people don't eat right. That's something simple you could do every day. Just cut off one thing that you don't, that's wrong, that you can eat better with. But I just think in general, like, people need to like, quit being so entitled, you know, just be grateful for what you got. Like, there's a lot of people with a lot of worse situations than what a lot of people are crying and whining about, you know, and that's one thing that kind of rubs me the wrong way.
Mm. 2020 taught me that.
Life can change at any moment. Like, you thought you had a pro career job and then I mean, life's unpredictable.
Mm. What's the hardest lesson you've ever learned?
The hardest, man. You know, I don't really know, man. That's a good one for on the spot. I can't really come up with one right on the spot, man.
Why you gotta dive in the deep end like that?
You know, like, without getting too deep, you know what I'm saying? No, I don't want to, I can't really, I have to think about that for a little longer.
What is a lesson that you've learned that's worth teaching?
A lesson that I've learned, man, I would just say kind of on the same lines that I was just talking about, like, just, man, being grateful and not entitled and just, you know, like, how you view the world could really just change who you are. Like, you know, a lot of people look at the world as, like, I'm such a victim and, like, why me and this and that. And when you could just change it, like, man, there's a lot of bad in the world. Don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of good, too, you know. And
absolutely.
That just kind of, like, everybody likes to bring up all the bad stuff but not really bring up the good stuff, you know.
True. Who's the GOAT?
LeBron James.
Say it again for the people in the back, please.
There's no question. If we want to have a whole podcast on that, I'm with that.
Does LeBron win 6 titles by the end of it?
I think so.
Does he play with his son?
Probably. I think he's going to play till he's like I think he's going to be the Tom Brady of the NBA, and he takes care of his body like no other.
I mean, I wish I had $6 million a year to spend on some.
Man, a lot of NBA players do, but don't, though, you know?
It's crazy how many don't.
So many don't. And it's crazy, like, people like to discredit LeBron as, like, oh, he's a freak of nature, when, you know, there's a reason that he is, you know. I mean, there's more than one person that looks like LeBron in the NBA, you know what I'm saying? Yes. There's a few 6'9", 6'8", people who, but, you know, it's different. It's different.
It's honestly so crazy. Like, obviously, there's been millions of debates on that. And one that I thought was, like, an okay, like, neutral stance was, like, Jordan's the GOAT, but LeBron's the best basketball player to ever play.
Yeah, I've heard that. I can maybe get along with that.
Because it's like, when we understand, nobody's saying Jordan's like above. Like, that's the way people take it, as if like LeBron's just some like whack job that's like taking over the throne.
Yeah.
But something that like is so crazy about LeBron's career is like ever since he was anybody, like junior high, going to high school, he's on the cover of ESPN. All the way up, he's always succeeded. And he's always stayed out of the media,
yep.
You know, and he's never, I wouldn't say he's never messed up, but like compared to all of the other goats, like he hasn't had that big issue. And,
yeah. And he's been under a microscope way, way harder than any other star.
Yeah. And in the media, like storm that was like our childhood growing up when everybody has a phone, everybody like mm-hmm. is able to record and how much that would have affected people in those previous generations. But just to be able to look off the court too and just see how the impact that he's, you know, he's had on his family and his on culture and his hometown. And
yep.
And it's sad that we don't get to know more about the things that those people do, you know. And there's one of my favorite quotes is people are hard to hate close up. It's like when you really like sit down with somebody and you like look them eye to eye and you get to know their story and where they came from and like why they did what they did, yeah. You know, and what they've experienced, like you always come out with a greater amount of respect.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree with that.
And that's why I like love 30 for 30 like by ESPN, because like athletes that I've hated, you know, I like watch them. I'm like, damn, I can't even like not like them anymore. I think there was one, what was his name? He was like he was a receiver for the Broncos. Thomas.
Demetrius Thomas.
Demetrius Thomas. Uh-huh. Yeah. And it was crazy. Like ever since he was in junior high, a guy on his block killed his dad. And the guy still lives on the block that he grew up in. And his grandma ran a drug ring, a coke ring, and his mom was a drug runner. And they were like, either you can rat out your mom to his mom. You can either rat out the grandma. She's like the linchpin that we want, you know, or you're going to go to jail and never see your kid. And she chose to go to jail and never see your kid rather than snitch on her mom. Which I was like, I mean, that's a hard decision, but like that's your flesh and blood. Like,
yeah.
So he grew up his whole entire life on his friend's couch, like never saw his mom, and grew up, went through high school, went D1, went to NFL. And the first time he'd ever seen his mom since he was a little kid, it was during the Super Bowl week.
It's crazy.
And I was like, they were like bawling his eyes out. And I was like, man, like that's what is so crazy about sports, is that you hear those stories and you're like, man, he had nothing, and he made it, you know? Yeah. And I had, like, all these tools at my disposal. And that's like, when we talk about, this may get, like, weirdly deep, but talking about, like, privilege.
Yeah.
Like, in my eyes, like, privileges are never bad. Like, it's just that not everybody has access to the same.
Yeah.
And so it's not that those things are negative, you know, the access to education and, you know, private tutoring and housing. And it's just that it's not available for everybody. And so those perspective moments, like, bring me so much respect, you know, for those people and for those moments. And like, although they play basketball, you know, or football or sports, like there's so much going on in people's personal lives outside of the lines, you know. And that's one of the things with like Twitter and Instagram and social media, like everybody has an opinion about, you know, so-and-so and what they did and what their intentions were. And,
yep.
But like to your point earlier about, you know, people could just, actually the last podcast, we talked about people just need to learn how to shut their pie hole. Like
yeah.
It's okay to just shut your mouth and worry about like what you have control over.
Exactly.
And there's a Eric, you know, Eric Thomas.
Yeah.
So I remember when like Black Lives Matter first started and he was getting like railroaded by all these people like, you have a platform, you need to be using it, and blah, blah, blah. And he came up and he said, like, they're like, what are you going to do, you know, with your platform? He's like, I'm going to do the same thing I've been doing for the last 10 years. I'm going to be giving millions of dollars to help send kids to high school. I'm going to keep preaching. I'm going to set up school for here for after school care. And like, I've been doing it.
Yeah.
You know, just because you don't see it doesn't mean that I'm not using my platform, but I'm not using it the way that you want to use it. And, and I think that, that term, like that individual responsibility, you know, is something that I think we all learn at some point one way or the other. It's kind of like when you went to Fresno and you're like, nobody's going to work on your game. You know, nobody's gonna put the hours in for you. Like, yep. You, it's either you put it in or you finish out your degree and you go sit in a cubicle. Like, you choose one or the other. And so that's like one of the things with sports that's so cool is that it just brings perspective, and there's so many stories that go into that. Love it. Last but not least, what advice would you give somebody who is trying to overcome limits? Because that's what we're all about. Mindset over limits, kind of overcoming no matter where you're at, figure out the next step and keep it moving forward, which you have done plenty in your life.
Yeah, no, man. I would say, first of all, that there really is no limits, you know, like there's limits that you put on yourself. Like, you know, it's all a mindset. And like whatever your goal is, whether it be sports or, you know, whatever, you know, is you gotta put some towards it every day. You gotta, like, you know, work on it every day. Like if it's basketball, you gotta be in the gym or, you know, working on something, you know, weight room, something. You know, you go, you, some with school, you study, you gotta put, man, like you gotta put in the time. You really do. And I try to tell people, it's like people growing up, like for sports, that like, man, 2 to 4 hours a day can change your life, but you gotta be consistent with it. It can't be like 2 hours today and then 3 days off and then four, you know, you consistently put 2 to 4 hours a day in. And it don't even sound like that much, but it is a lot. But it's like, it's not that much, honestly. Right. You 15 hours, you know, you can spare 2 to 4 towards like what you want in life, you know.
Totally.
So 2 to 4, man, every day.
I love it. Tomas Sanchez, where can the people find you?
I mean, I got an Instagram. My Instagram is young_Moss, but I'm really not on the socials that much. I'm kind of off the web a little bit. I mean, if you want to hit me, you got to hit my cell phone, but I'm not going to give it out here.
Well, I love it. Man, it's such a pleasure to have you back on here. Pleasure to have you in town. And absolutely. Until next time, my friends, stay up the leash. Woo! You know what it is.